Yes, Life and Ball podcast. How can you not start off a beautiful evening with a little chill music, a little chill hop on your tube? Excited about this show. I've actually been meaning to do this for years, and I usually say it in training sessions, and I get a question, you know, that most of us that were pretty solid basketball players get, especially if we're in skills training and we do something that's not the norm or our skill level is at a ridiculously high level. And I believe that through hard work and constant attention to detail and the ability to learn from greater people than me, you know, I had elite skill level in certain areas. So the question always comes, Coach Jay, why didn't you never play in the NBA? And I know that all of you that are skills coaches or coaches, you've had that question, you know, why didn't you play in the NBA? I'm going to change it today because I knew I wasn't going to ever play in the NBA. At 8 years old, I got a statement. I'll never forget this. Anything in my basketball life, I just remember it like it was yesterday. And at 8 years old, playing at the Jackson, Michigan YMCA, a woman that was reffing said, you're going to play in the NBA one day. I'll never forget that. I was one of the gifted young kids. I'm making every shot on the smaller hoop. And yeah, I looked pretty good, you know, and I'm a standout. Everyone's noticing me. And, you know, I was different than the other kids. So you're going to play in the NBA one day. I believed that for a long time. I mean, when I was a younger kid and I'd go to camps and, you know, I was winning these competitions, free throw competitions, or I was excelling in camps and the MVP of certain camps, I really believed that as a young kid that I was going to play in the NBA. And a lot of these camps you go to, people ask that question, you know, what's your goals, what's your dream? And a lot of kids would say NBA. A lot of women, young girls would say WNBA. It's a great dream. It's a great goal. It's a great thing to say. I knew as a freshman in high school, or maybe even eighth grade, I was never going to play in the NBA. I knew that. I didn't have the confidence. I didn't think that I had the size. I didn't think a lot of things were going to go my way, but I had a dream and a goal, and that was to play overseas. What I never thought of as a young kid, and I wish I had someone like me today saying this, is you could play pro basketball and have a great career. You know, that's different than saying I want to play overseas. See, you're going to learn a lot in this show today about not just having small-minded goals, but having goals that saying I don't want to just play overseas. I want to go overseas and have a career. I want to make great money. I want to have a situation where I can provide for my family for years because of my ability to play this wonderful game. I didn't do that. So the question of this show and the title of this show is why didn't I earn six figures as a basketball player? Again, why didn't I earn six figures as a basketball player? And I think that's a fair question considering where I was in my basketball career, who I met, who made six figures, that I was at their level. So you're going to get a lot of things today that I'm going to tell you why I wasn't a high earner as a basketball player. And a lot of it was my wrongdoing. That's the great thing about this when I do these shows where I try to teach and inspire youth. And I'm trying to inspire all of you, is a lot of times when you look back and the mistakes you made or the things you could have done differently, you say to yourself, if I just would have done this, maybe, right? We do that a lot. And I don't like to look back anymore. I do the look back stuff to help you, to help the player, to help someone that might be in the same situation as me. But I can tell you this right now, this is a fact. I could have earned six figures as a basketball player. I could have went overseas and earned a great living. I know that. I've seen it firsthand from people I've trained, people I played with, players I played against. So many times, guys, where I've seen a player, and I know this drives you crazy, but you got to be honest with yourself. How many times have you thought of somebody and you've seen that player and you said, I am as good or better than he or she. Why are they making a better living through the game of basketball than me? What are they doing differently? You know, I trained a young man who is a six-figure earner. I was his first trainer. He was a 17-year-old kid. He's seen me. We were training. And I want to shout him out. I don't typically do that because it's not about just one player. And the name-dropping thing isn't really my go-to. And I really don't care. You know, I like to be the background guy. But I will name-drop this young man because it's how I got started. And his name's Tyler Laser. Tyler Laser is from Hillsdale, Michigan. And, you know, he... from a small area like me, and he had huge goals and huge dreams, and he used to say, I'm going to play in the NBA, I just know it, I'm good enough to play. Amazing confidence. He had great confidence in his abilities. He had more confidence than I did. I give him credit. You know, I feel when I look at Tyler as a 17-year-old kid playing against me, who was probably 22 or 23, I'm a grown man compared to him. I'm probably going to outplay him just because of, you know, being older than him, right? And he's a high school standout, all-state player, big-time player. And you know, I can outperform him because I'm just older. And he's just wanted to get better. And he's like, can you train me? Can you work with me? And it was so great because I did. And I worked with him as a freshman, or excuse me, senior in high school. And then he got into college. I worked with him at times. And he's played for, you know, overseas for multiple years now. And he's earned good money. And I look at him and I say to myself, you know, that was a kid who had confidence, and that was a kid who believed in himself, and it's also a kid who stuck the course. You know, Tyler had a situation very similar to mine. He gets to college, he goes to Eastern Illinois, and it wasn't working out beautifully for him right away. You know, his college career is an amazing story, and that's why I'm name dropping him today, because this is a great story. And he's probably going to laugh because he's like, really? Why are you even mentioning this? Because I don't think he cares, but it's important for you. Tyler, freshman and sophomore year, more so freshman year at Eastern Illinois, struggled. It was just not working beautifully for him. He wasn't getting a ton of minutes all the time. He wasn't a standout. His sophomore year, it was kind of one of those up and down years. I think he really felt like he maybe had to leave. He didn't. He stayed the course and became a prime time player for that organization, that program, and became just a big time college basketball player. He actually had a tough situation. He got injured. His last year, he couldn't even finish his career the right way because of a fluke injury. But this guy stayed the course and had a marvelous career, graduated from the university. He was there 4 years, and you got to stick things out, guys. You know, when I do this title, and I say six-figure earner, most of us feel like, well, that's only the NBA. No, it's not at all. You know, obviously some NBA guys, seven-figure earners, you know that. You know, eight figure. I mean, it's crazy, right? Some of these guys, the money they make. But there's a lot of us that are really, really good players that can make six figures playing basketball. Maybe not in 1 year, but over time, you're saving your money. You go overseas and you know, you're living a pretty simple life and you're just saving your money and you have six figures in the bank because, you know, you just kept playing overseas multiple years. And for me, I felt like I could make six figures a year. I could be a guy that signed a two-year deal. And all of you that play overseas know how this works. You know, you sign the 1 or 2 year deal and it might be worth, you know, 100 to 200,000, 300,000. So you're a six-figure earner now. You know, and it's good money. You know, and Tyler's put himself in a position where he's able to do that now. And I'm just so proud of him. And the reason I mentioned him today is because of the story, the ability to have to train, know I have these huge goals, I got to work, and he did. And I'm just so proud of him from afar, seeing it from the background, because I remember the beginning journey. But let's get into why I was not a six-figure earner. And there's a lot of people that could have the same story as me. I was the 1%er because I played Division I ball, but I'm the 99%er because I didn't make it. You know, I mean, that's the way I see it. I feel like if you're not making a great living playing basketball, or you could have a regular, normal job making more, then that's not making it as a career playing basketball. Now, you have the experiences, but you're not making a great life for your family. So the six-figure earner thing. So for me, you know, going out of high school, I was a preferred walk-on at Western Michigan. Might have been a tough decision to make because I probably could have been a scholarship guy at a lower-level school. And maybe I stayed the course there and my career could have been different. That was the mistake number one. That, you know, probably should have took, you know, an offer from a school that was a better fit for me. There's a lot of players that make great money overseas that weren't D1 players. Happens all the time. There was mistake number one. There's where I fell off. Number two, I was getting better at Western Michigan, though, because this is a D1 program. We made the NCAA tournament my freshman year. Barely played, you know, not getting off the bench very often. But as my sophomore year starts, I'm getting better. I'm getting confident. I know I'm a D1 player. I'm good enough to be out there, and I could get minutes now. I made the wrong decision to leave and transfer that second year. You know, you got to stick things out, guys. You can't expect it to just happen overnight. Like, you're just going to be this primetime player, and even though these other guys playing against you have had better moments than you, you're just going to be better than them overnight. It doesn't work that way. It's going to take time. It was going to take me 2 years to develop and learn. So, again, issue number two. Should have stayed the 4 years. See what happens. You know, you just don't know if you quit. You know, you don't get a second chance when you transfer schools. You don't get to go back to those schools very often. I don't think I've ever seen that happen. That's a great question. Has anybody ever seen or heard a player who left a school and came back to that school? It just doesn't happen. You've left that program. You've moved on. It's over. And I wanted to come back. I told the coach I made the wrong decision. But it's over. You've made that choice. Choices come with consequences, positive or negative. You make the right choices, the consequences, you might have a great situation. You make the wrong choice, there's negative consequences. You become who I was as a player, scrambling. I did this thing where I said the three S's. You're the star, everyone knows who you are. You're the searcher, you're just trying to search for your fit. Or you're the scrambler, you're just scrambling. What am I doing? Why am I making these poor decisions? So my college career, leaving Western Michigan, going to Olivet College, going to D3, you know, they didn't know how good I was. They seen how good I was, but I wasn't invested in their program, and I just didn't have a great college career. Case point, I'm not a six-figure earner. That's the main reason. I didn't have a strong enough college career, and that's easy to put yourself out. You can have a great college career and still not be a six-figure earner. I was a scrambler, so then now I'm searching, and I'm trying to find a pro basketball league in America, semi-pro, minor league, whatever it is. And then I had that situation, and I was able to play in, you know, with some big-time earners who said, Jay, just keep working. You can do this. But because of my college career, and even though I was able to outperform a lot of big-time players at the pro levels, whether it was the International Basketball League, playing overseas in China, playing in the PBL, Premier Basketball League, with some really good players, playing in the ABA, even though the ABA is not what it was, there were still some really good players a few years I played in it. You know, I didn't have a resume. I didn't have a resume where you could look at it and go, oh, this guy played 4 years at a college. He was an all-conference player. You know, I was an all-conference player 1 year at Olivet College. Honorable mention, that's not going to get you six figures earner. It's just not. Was I good enough to? Sure. I can handle. I can shoot. I'm strong. You know, I'm crafty. I know the game. I can defend a little bit. There's a lot of guys like me out there making really good money. It just worked out for them. But I didn't lock in and have a great college career. Great high school career, not a good college career. Pro career was search for the right fit, played really, really well, had some great moments, was an all-star in the International Basketball League 2 years. Honorable mention. That's a big deal. I was one of the highest assists guys in the International Basketball League. I believe it was 2009 or 10. So, you know, there's some things there on the resume that make me a good trainer. But the reason why I'm not a six-figure earner playing the game of basketball today is because of the choices that I made. You know, not being academically driven, not hitting the books the way I should have, not staying the course, not being confident, not being tough mentally all the time. And do I regret it? Absolutely not. You know, my life's great. I'm blessed. But some of you that will listen to this are you're in this position that I'm in. You're not knowing where you're going to go. You have these big goals, but it's just, you don't think it's going to happen. You have to make every right choice if you want to be a big time basketball player at the next level. You can't mess up. You just can't. I don't care how gifted you are, talent-wise, how tall you are, how high you jump, how good you shoot. If you don't stay the course and you don't work constantly and you don't continue to get better every day, you're not going to make great money playing basketball. It's just too competitive. It's way too competitive. There's another guy out there just like you, and the moment you slip there, you're gone. It's over. Done. See you later. And it's no different in the women's game. Young girls who are great players, you know, they have the same struggle. You got to stay the course. You got to be ready. You got to be confident, but you can't give up. So I was not a six-figure earner because I made the wrong choices. I didn't play bad. I made the wrong choices. Thanks for tuning in to Life and Ball Podcast. We give your game life. Check me out on Facebook, J-File Lab. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give me your feedback and comments on this. Share this. A lot of players need to hear this stuff. Thanks again for tuning in.